Welcome back. This is technically our episode 5 of Bingeable, and I am super pumped. This is Emmy speaking, by the way, because this is my all-time favorite show. I will absolutely give it that title. We are covering Schitt's Creek today.
It's really just, it really, like, actually blew me away.
Well, to give everyone a little background, so if you haven't seen Schitt's Creek, again, why are you listening to this podcast? I don't know. But Schitt's Creek is about an extraordinarily rich family, like Kardashian-level wealth, and they lose all of their money through a bad, like, accountant. And back when they were wealthy, their dad bought this random town for his son in, like, a bet in a game that he was playing. And so when they lose everything, the only asset they don't seize is this town of Schitt's Creek, because apparently it's worth absolutely nothing. So the family then has to move to Schitt's Creek, and since they technically own the town, like, has to put them up. It's literally a riches to rags story, but, like, the absolute best.
And it's the type of show where, like, it's not necessarily a story you've never seen before. It's not, like, on paper, you're like, oh, I get what that's about, you know, I know that story. But it's so, like, specific, all of the characters and everything, the way they speak and the tone, it's all very unique to the show.
It's obviously not a utopian town by any means, because it's, you know, there's very little going on in the actual town, but just, like, the cast of characters are, in a way, like, idyllic. Like, it just becomes the most, like, loving, accepting society in the middle of nowhere. They never say where Schitt's Creek actually is supposed to be located, and I just feel like that's the best.
It really is, and it's the perfect show for right now. I just finished it, like, 4 days ago. I'd started it before quarantine, but I watched most of it during quarantine. And it's just such a feel-good show. It's so funny. You can't watch it and not be in a good mood. Like, it just, it's so good, and it was such a gift to have 6 seasons to watch, because it's like, if you're in a bad mood and you just watch an episode, you instantly feel better.
I think that the show originally started over 4 years ago in the Obama administration, and I feel like it wasn't until everything in our country exploded that I, like, truly, I watched it again in quarantine, and I was like, this is, like, the love I need in my life right now.
It really hugs you. It's just, like, you just feel like, oh, it's just, like, a respite.
Like, it's just the exact positive show you need right now.
Moira is played by Catherine O'Hara, and Johnny is played by Eugene Levy, so it's obviously always, you just know you're in for something great when the two of them are together. It's like the dream team, and then it just takes it to the next level that Eugene wrote it with Dan, his son, who plays David. And then Alexis is played by this Canadian actress, Annie Murphy. And the four of them together, the Rose family, it's just everything.
Everything. So iconic together.
Iconic. And to commemorate them, I am drinking rosé right now, because obviously rosé, Rose family. But in the first season, and then also in the last 6th season, Moira has a day at the Herb Oertlinger.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Winery, and she has her own wine, Moira Rosé, so I felt like it was only fitting.
Well, I'm drinking wine as well. I'm drinking cheap wine, because that's all they can find in Schitt's Creek, and constantly they're, like, always quoting about how this wine is awful, but please get me another glass. And honestly, Moira just drinks through pretty much the entire show.
She really does.
So who is your favorite character? Your favorite main and not main character.
Okay. My favorite of the four, it's so hard because I honestly love them all. First of all, I just love seeing Eugene Levy in, like, the straight man role. And I feel like Eugene, Johnny Rose, is, like, the heart of the show. Like, all he wants is for his family to be happy. And he's just, like, I feel like he's the sweetest man. Like, could not hurt a fly.
could not hurt. But it's so funny because he, like, also is in this very traumatic situation. So he is, like, constantly, like, trying to keep his calm, but, like, also just erupting.
I love them all for different reasons, but I just, Moira Rose is, I've never seen anybody like her in any show or, like, life. She kills me. Every single thing she says makes me laugh. First of all, her accent is insane. It's like
insane. What a million accents put together. It's just like she literally can't decide. I feel like because she's supposedly an actress and a soap opera actress, so a very dramatic actress. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she just probably had to do like all these accents at one point or another and then just decided to morph her voice into a collection of all of them.
Yeah. I feel like all of her traits are, like, so representative of the show to me, and that, like, on paper, you just be like, oh, it's just, like, a rich lady. Like, I've seen that trope, I've seen that whatever, but it's so specific to Catherine O'Hara, and that's what makes it so funny. Like, the fact that she has this crazy accent, the fact that her vocabulary is so, like, insane, but the best part about her is her wigs.
Oh, I can't even, and I was reading about her wigs. So Catherine O'Hara, when she was brought on, basically she was friends with Eugene Levy, of course, from being working with him in the past and with his whole family. And so when she came on, she had all these ideas of like outfits she wanted to wear. She had a specific like fashion inspiration. And then she also just knew this woman who would wear like all these different wigs, and she said that she would literally like be at a party with her and she would be wearing one wig and then she'd like go to the bathroom and then just come out in a different wig with absolutely no explanation. And so it was Catherine O'Hara who was like, I want to wear these wigs. And I think I looked it up, they have like 24 on set for her.
I love that it was her idea. I was wondering, like, did she make that choice or did somebody else? Because it's such a fun, random, specific choice. And it just, like, informs her character the entire time. The fact that she names them all.
Apparently, she, like, woke up every day on set. Like, it wasn't, like, a premeditated choice. She would, like, have her outfit and then she would choose the wig that, like, best went with, like, who she wanted to be that day.
That's so good. Because that's probably what Moira would do.
Exactly. I absolutely love them all. I love David, just like every morose, like cynical thing he says. But I think that my favorite character is probably actually Alexis.
Love that journey for you.
Thank you so much. Well, it's truly because I love that journey for her. Like, she's just absolutely outrageous. You're like always with her in an episode. Unlike Moira, she's not just like always outrageous. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you'll kind of be like, oh, okay. Like, she's like socializing. She's like being normal. She's like interacting with like friends and boys. And then she'll just be like, yeah, but this one time when I was dating Prince Harry, or like the one time on my critically reviewed reality TV show.
She's like, yeah, you know, that one time where I was, like, kidnapped by Somali pirates. Like, they just, her anecdotes get crazier and crazier. She's like, David, like, you try parallel parking in a burqa.
I just love, and I love her whole arc with Ted. Like, she is probably the most, she goes through the biggest arc because she, like, needed to change the most because mm-hmm. she was, like, absolutely horrendous in the beginning. This, like, essentially stuck-up rat.
Yeah.
But I, like, she just becomes such a loving, like, in the last episode, she hugs Moira in one scene.
And says, I love you very much.
Yes. But she also stays true to her the entire time. Like, mm-hmm. when she fully wears a wedding dress to David's wedding.
Of course.
And he flips out. And she's like, you're being so ridiculous. Like, she just doesn't take it seriously. And then finally, when they're walking down the aisle, she's like, oh my God, David, I just realized I'm wearing a wedding dress. And he's like, yeah, I know. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I ruined your wedding. And he's like, you don't have that much power.
As the show went on and the writing got better and they like fleshed out the characters more and more, and Alexis went on this journey, and you just love her more and more and more and more. And by the end, you just like are rooting for her more than anybody else.
Well, and I kind of like, I feel like Moira and David are pretty similar, and like, I was just about to say Annie. Alexis and Johnny are pretty similar in that they, like, Alexis and Johnny just, like, want their family to be happy at mm-hmm. their core and, like, love them so much, even when, like, and I feel like Alexis became Johnny, like, as the show goes on. Like, she didn't start out that way. And I think it's so amazing. You told me a story about this, too, that, well, Annie Murphy was the only one, really, that had to audition out of the family because it was Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, who have worked together a bunch. And then Dan is Eugene's son, and Dan's the creator of the show. So Annie actually had to audition and was the only, like, non-actual kind of member of this close-knit circle and just, like, fit in perfectly. And this was her big break. The line, like, "Ooh, David," is just absolutely iconic. And I love that journey for you. Like, her lines have become taglines. And I'm sure that it's not, like, what they thought when they originally put them in there.
100%.
Or, like, "You get murdered first, David."
Yeah. Who's your favorite, like, towns person?
I have two, and one of them, so Ray has obviously always been my absolute favorite because he's
a legend.
Like, he's, like, the Kirk, like, in Gilmore Girls, but of Schitt's Creek. Like, the everyman does every job, any job you can need him to do. I'm also so obsessed with Ronnie because, number one, I feel like Ronnie is Moira's, like, actually only friend. Like, yes. Ronnie very subtly is obsessed with Moira.
Yeah.
And, like, cries when she's going to leave. And I love how Ronnie hates Patrick. They, like, added that in the last season.
Also, she really grew on me, but I, like, love Jocelyn. I feel like she kind of... and Roland too. Like, I feel like in the beginning of the show, in the first couple seasons, they were just kind of like the foils for Johnny and Moira, and, you know, like, they were just like silly characters kind of.
Well, I also feel like with Roland and Jocelyn, like, when you first meet them in episode, like, you learn to adapt to them as, like, the roses are learning to adapt. Like, at first you're like, this, they are nuts, like, trashy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right,
like,
yes.
Then, but it's kind of just, like, how the roses see them. And then you realize that they're actually, like, pretty normal and, like, loving and sweet people. Like, Jocelyn, it ends up being where, like, Jocelyn is just, like, constantly rolling her eyes at Moira. I read this thing about Stevie's character. And David basically wrote Stevie's character, or Dan Levy. I get them confused all the time. Dan basically wrote Stevie's character to be, like, his reaction to all the people in the town. So, like, she does. She, like, openly reacts and, like, rolls her eyes and, like, obviously, like, falls in love with their family and becomes a part of their family. But at first, she just, like, gets a kick out of everybody.
I had such a, like, 180 with Stevie because when the show started, I didn't love her. Like, I felt like the first season when they tried to, like, make them... David and Stevie, like, mm-hmm. into each other and they hooked up, I was like, what's going on? Like, this would not happen. It reminded me of in Friends, there's a season when they make Rachel and Joey get together, and you just know as an audience member, I'm like, that's not right. Like, I don't like that. And so I didn't love her, but I will say she grew on me, and I think when I really started to really love her and her place in the show really was when Patrick came on to the show and started dating and falling in love with David, and that brought such a new element to the show. Stevie and David really became like best friends.
Yeah. Well, I feel like with Stevie and David, like, their whole thing was that they both, like, basically hate everyone else and, like, all other humans. And, that, like, no one was, not that no one was as good as them, but that they just, like, felt no need to associate with the outside world aside from each other. So that's right. Why I feel like their connection kind of happened and they were like, is this romantic? Is it not? But then when Patrick came, like, both Stevie and David, like, were like, oh, this man is, like, good enough to be, like, we'll let him in. Obviously, Patrick is just the absolute, I mean, every time we've talked about a favorite character, like an MVP, protect at all costs, it is Pat, he's the Lorraine of this show.
He is the Lorraine, oh my god, that's so true. He just balances David out so well. They have the cutest dynamic, the cutest relationship. When he serenaded David, I mean, that's like an iconic scene. I was in tears.
I just love how much he loves David. Like, I've never seen a relationship where a character so unconditionally throughout their whole relationship on TV, like, he is just in David's corner. He right. loves him. He gets him. He is obsessed with everything. Like, David is a very hard character to... David's character is a very hard person to, mm-hmm. like, really... let anybody in and to totally understand. And Patrick just, like, falls for him, I feel like, from episode one.
And I feel like, I mean, the show always had a really good balance of, like, humor and heart. And I feel like that was really came from Johnny. And Johnny's core was really about, like, making the family happy. And you see the family kind of start really coming together. But when Patrick comes on the scene, it takes it to an even... to a whole other level of, it's not cheesy, it's not sentimental, but there's a depth to his character, his relationship with David that we hadn't seen before.
Well, and David has talked about how he's had, like, no long-term relationships. He also feels, like, very alienated from the people in his life. Like, in the second to last episode, there's this most heartwarming scene when he's on the car with Stevie looking at the house that Patrick wants to buy for him, debating on, like, moving to New York, the whole thing. And he's just, like, talking about how he wants to go back to New York. And Stevie's like, why do you want to go back to New York? Like, those people don't deserve you. They, like, never appreciated you, blah, blah. And he's like, I just want to prove to everybody that they were, like, wrong about me. David is, like, super, his sense of humor is very dry and he's pretty cynical. And it's, like, works great for the comedic aspect of the show, but it's also kind of like the one, like, he genuinely feels a little lost and lonely, and, like, he constantly tells Stevie she's his first and only friend. And, like, he just, then he meets Patrick, and I feel like Patrick opens him up to this whole new world of, like, reliability and love and acceptance that he never had before. Also, so I recently watched the whole show with my mom and dad in quarantine. Shout out to them for housing me.
Shout out to DNR.
And I just feel like it's such, even though these people are absolutely nuts, it is such a beautiful, like, showcase of a relationship with a family, like, specifically, like, a father and son, a mother and son, a father and mother and daughter, and just, like, how the entire family is so heartwarmed by, like, David's love story. Mm-hmm. And they, like, they're also just so accepting of it. Like, I know that Dan Levy wanted to create this world where, like, no one looked at anyone for things that, unfortunately, in our society, people may judge people for, like, right. Everyone was just very, there was never a question about people, like, all rallying behind this beautiful relationship. And I watched it with my parents, and my dad was, like, absolutely sobbing at the proposal, but he was just saying how he, like, could not get over how beautiful, like, Patrick's whole coming out story was.
Oh my god, I sobbed at that part too when he came to his parents. Oh my god.
And that, like, David just, like, finally was happy, and how these two men could just, like, show each other their feelings so clearly. Do you have a favorite episode?
I don't know if I have a favorite episode. I loved the season 4 finale, the Christmas episode. I feel like that's,
yeah,
that's gonna be one of my, like, annual Christmas episodes. Emmy and I have holiday based episodes that we watch every holiday. Like, we have,
of course,
Thanksgiving episodes.
Do you guys spend holidays with family, or do you wake up and just plug in, like, 10 hours of TV and then spend the rest of your holidays with family, or not?
Yeah, just us.
Because I will literally stay up until, like, 3 a.m. on a holiday if I haven't watched all my episodes that I get me in the zone.
It's crucial. And I feel like this Christmas episode is going to just go down as one of my Christmas episodes to watch. And the fact that Johnny loves Christmas is so cute. Like, I am obsessed with him. And I also love seeing flashbacks of their life,
because
we don't that often. I mean, we hear stories and they talk about them all the time, of course, but, like, we don't have that many flashbacks. And so I really like that episode because you see the flashbacks and what they think is, like, was the best time of their lives, and they had this annual Christmas huge party and blah, blah, blah. But then you see how they weren't connecting, you know, with their family. And then you see where they are now. And even though, you know, the party is a bust at first and nothing's going the way Johnny wants, you see that they all have each other's backs and they all come together at the end.
My favorite episode is the episode right before that, because it's the episode where Ted and Alexis get back together, which is like the cutest, sweetest scene of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also hosting Singles Week. It's also the episode where Roland and Jocelyn have their baby.
Their bebe.
And name it Roland Moirashit. So Roland Moirashit. And also, it's the episode where Patrick tells David that he loves him.
Oh, I love them together. Like, we have our iconic love story characters. And I think David and Patrick, I mean, they just go to the top of the list.
Well, you did not ever get my absolute favorite quote.
Yeah, what is your favorite line? Tell me your favorite line of the show.
So our other favorite show is Downton Abbey. There's a Downton Abbey, speaking of everything we were just talking about, Christmas special.
Ugh.
It's the most iconic episode. And the one episode that David and Patrick have drama, Patrick, like, comes and apologizes to him and, like, basically gives them his whole speech about how he didn't know who he was until he met David and, like, this whole thing. And David says, "That is quite possibly the most romantic thing I've heard since the Downton Abbey Christmas special."
Ugh.
And it's so, it's honestly the best line just probably for me.
Because we love the Downton Abbey Christmas episode.
Because, and that's the episode where Mary and Matthew get engaged. And it's like the most beautiful, incredible episode of that show. So just the fact that David referenced my favorite show and said that it's the most beautiful thing since, when I understand exactly how beautiful that means he thinks it is,
that is,
was iconic for me.
Yeah. Also, I just realized, I think, what my favorite, I don't know if it's my favorite episode, but my favorite scene in the whole series.
Oh, let's see.
When Moira is auditioning for the Jazz Gals and she sings that crazy song and she's like scatting and they just do a slow pan of all the other women watching. When I watched that scene, I was dying. I was like, this is my exact brand of humor. Like, it was so absurd and I was dying. And I think I could watch that scene 50,000 times a day and I would die every single time.
What is your favorite Moira outfit?
Oh my God. For the Crows premiere. And most of her outfits are, I mean, I think all of them are like black, white, silver. Like, that's her go-to. Crazy.
Yeah.
But this was like a really beautiful, like, blush colored, champagne colored gown with like feathers at the bottom, and she looked so beautiful, and I loved it because Johnny thought she was so beautiful in it, and you just saw how much he loved her. What was your favorite Moira look?
Well, my favorite Moira look by far is the finale, which I honestly never thought that they would top like one of her other looks. So I'm so happy they did that. Just to clarify, if anyone would like me to officiate your wedding, I will be wearing the same look. So she basically looks like Rihanna at the Met Ball.
Yes.
But like, she's wearing a wig crown, like a crown made out of hair.
It's unbelievable. It's just,
and
like a full Pope like gown. Yeah.
She just looks like they just pulled her from a different decade, maybe like straight from the Vatican and into this episode. This show is really about love and loving your family and feeling deserving of love and picking the right partner.
And learning to adapt to whatever circumstance you're in if you are with family and people you love, and you know, you can really get through anything together. It's very heartwarming.
Very heartwarming.
And also very funny.
Hilarious. I feel like we've talked more about how heartwarming it was than like how funny.
I know.
We talked about the jokes, but like,
it is hilarious.
Hilarious. Wait, Luce, what are you watching?
So I'm halfway through Watchmen. It's unbelievable. I'm probably going to finish it like tomorrow. It's so good. I'm still very confused, but I love it. The other thing that I just finished watching, start to finish, is Search Party on HBO. So funny. I was immediately into it. I highly recommend it. It's like a dark comedy about a group of friends in Brooklyn who knew a girl from college who goes missing, and so they kind of take it upon themselves to look for her. Really highly recommend it. What are you watching?
Well, I'm about to start Search Party because it was recommended to me by you. And I'm still rewatching Pretty Little Liars. Who are we kidding? It's like 160 episodes. It's taken me a very long time. But I'll be done that soon and I'll be able to watch like a million TV shows. So you guys get ready.
Amazing. Well,
thank you all for tuning in.